Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, really, I haven't given, you know, that much thought. I have a pretty good idea where we're going to go, but not 100% certain yet. You know, we do know a great deal about each one of them. That's, you know, our responsibility. It's just that it's been unbelievably even. I mean, they have, both of them have done extremely well. Both of them are extremely competitive. Both of them, you know, desire to be the first guy on the field. Both of them are team-oriented guys. But, you know, if you begin to think all of a sudden that one is rising above the other, you know, just wait a day and that'll change, which has been the case. I think the first ball game will tell us an awful lot, perhaps. You know, there's some circumstances that take place in the course of a ball game on a Saturday afternoon that don't occur, can't occur on a practice routine. So, you know, we may, but we've seen them both, you know, under pressure before, and both of them have done quite well.
It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Riley Gates, our K-State insider and former high school football and basketball star.
Big Benary fumbles the snap, picks it back up. Pressure comes from Luke Geiler. He backs into the end zone, and Blue Jays are going to get two more points. Riley Gates back there, as well as Caleb Brummer.
Okay, so he isn't Darren Sproles or Dean Wade. Cool last name, by the way. But Riley's knowledge knows no bounds.
I love Whataburger. I really like the patty melt. The patty melt is really good. It's like a double burger, so you get the traditional burger. You're not going with chicken or anything like that. But just kind of the sauce that's on the patty melt. I really like it.
And he's already working on his political career.
We never lied. I don't know what you're talking about. We were never liars.
It's Go Powercats' very own Riley Gates. Brought to you by Hanson Auction and Realty in Beloit. And by Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Right now on the Sports Ticket.
The one and only Riley Gates is with us. Good morning, Riley. How are you?
I'm good. I guess I wasn't prepared to be on so quick. I thought that intro was going to be a little bit longer after last week's intro, but
well, I thought I'd be nice to you and not rub it in any further. I thought one intro with Parker's name all over it was probably enough for Parker and his ego and his head. So,
well, that's kind of what I was thinking. You know, he got pretty, he got a little full of himself after that one. You know, maybe he can just, you know, knock him down a little bit.
Well, we'll work on that. We will definitely work on that. Well, Riley, last week we talked to you. You were chilling. You're like, man, don't have much to do. I don't have to go to class. And but you said that next week, which is now this week, that you back into the grind, getting ready for the season opener for K-State football. This week a little bit different than last week, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yesterday morning had the Big 12 coaches teleconference, and today we've got Coach Snyder's press conference. Actually, in about 2 hours from now, we'll go talk to him. So it's back in the swing of things, get a little more busy. Probably going to have a pretty late night at the office tonight, but you know what? I'm all for it. It's nicer to have things to do than to be looking for things to do.
I would agree with that. Well, we just heard from Coach Snyder from that Big 12 teleconference yesterday. Shockingly, he does not tell us who his starting quarterback is. Do you think today he will reveal that, whether it's on the depth chart or his press conference? Or do you think he's going to take this all the way up till Saturday?
No, I don't think he's going to let us know today. I think when K-State puts out their depth chart today, I believe there will be an or next to both Skyler Thompson and Alex Delton. So, I mean, that's just how it goes. And I think we're going to have to wait and see who takes the field first on Saturday to know. But honestly, I don't even think that's going to give us a true answer as to who the true starting quarterback is. I mean, I think that whoever takes the field first on Saturday may have just simply performed a little bit better in the fall camp here. But I don't think we're going to know who the real starting quarterback is until the Mississippi State game next weekend, because, you know, that's the game that matters. I feel pretty confident that you can put either of these two guys out there on this Saturday and take care of South Dakota pretty well.
One thing you did mention in the teleconference yesterday was asked about the linebackers, and you can fill people in on that. I know your buddy Scott had asked that, and he was a little bit more forthright in talking about the names of the players playing linebacker.
Yeah, definitely. We've expected it to be DaQuan Patton and Elijah Sullivan all this offseason as the two main guys, and he did list those two as two of the main guys. But one noteworthy thing that I think a lot of people may not have missed on is that he listed Elijah Sullivan third, and that came after Sam Seislov. Elijah did not participate in the open fan practice a week or two ago, and from the sounds of it, it sounds like he is a little bit dinged up right now, and probably not going to see the field on Saturday if I had to take a guess. I know that when he suffered the injury earlier, the hope was to have him back for Mississippi State, but I think, you know, maybe that might be rushing it a little bit because I believe it was something up with his knee. So we'll just kind of have to see what Elijah does with his injury. But he's easily the guy that you really need out there. I mean, I think he's the he's obviously the most experienced and talented when you put those two together. Sam Seislet has the experience, but I just don't think he has the talent to really outplay Elijah Sullivan. And I think Daquan Patton is the most talented of the linebacking core. But obviously, you know, redshirt even last year and coming from a junior college, his experience level is just not going to be where it needs to be for the first 3 weeks or so. So you really want Elijah Sullivan out there, but you don't want to rush him back. So you'll see those two guys mainly, and also maybe anticipate a guy like Eric Gallen II kind of sneak his way in there and maybe getting a few snaps. You'll probably see a lot of interchanging at the linebacker until Elijah Sullivan really gets healthy and ready to go.
What do you expect to see when the depth chart comes out in regards to the defensive front and the defensive line?
I think it'll be – I think the defensive tackles, you know, obviously Trey Deshaun's going to be there as an all-Big 12 performer. He's going to be back, obviously. And I think Joe Davies is probably going to be the defensive tackle alongside of him. But, you know, I asked Coach Snyder about that yesterday, and he was pretty straightforward in saying that it's going to be kind of a defensive tackle by committee thing. You know, a lot of times, you know, maybe they go a three-man front, and so they don't have two defensive tackles there. And some other names to look out for is Drew Wiley and Jordan Mitty, the son of K-State women's basketball coach Jeff Mitty. He transferred in from Texas State. He was all Sun Belt last year, and so, you know, I think he can find his way into the mix too. They just don't necessarily have that consistency at defensive tackle to have two main guys. They'll just have Trey and someone coming in and out of there. And then a defensive end, you're going to see Reggie Walker probably almost every play, if not every play. And then I don't think it'll necessarily be as interchangeable in the other defensive end as, say, defensive tackle. I think that, you know, I think you're going to have Kyle Ball as the main guy there starting the game. But I think you'll probably also see Bronson Massey in there a little bit and maybe even Wyatt Hubert, a Topeka native. I think he's played his way into the mix, and I think that he's going to get some game time there. So that defensive line, probably not going to be a set three or four guys the entire season, but a lot of guys coming in and out at times.
No way. So we covered linebackers in the defensive front. What about the secondary? What do you expect to see on the depth chart?
You know, honestly, I'm a little bit still up in the air on this one. I think Duke Shelley will be one of the corners, and if I had to guess, I'm going to go probably say Walter Neal as the other cornerback, but it's either going to be him or A.J. Parker if I had to guess. And then Denzel Goolsby, I'm sure, will be back at safety, as will Kendall Adams. Wow, I had a complete brain fart there. Kendall Adams will be back there after he kind of suffered that injury. And I think Eli Walker will definitely deserve to be on the field. I think he struggled a little bit last year in terms of just getting up to game speed. You know, he didn't handle that transition from Cerritos College as well as DJ Reed, his teammate, did. And so I think that Eli will get out. He's too good of an athlete to leave on the bench at times. And I mean, I think he's the best hitter on this team, honestly. I think that he's going to be a force to be reckoned with if he gets on the field. So I'm not really sure what exactly it's going to look like. I think those are names. I'm just not sure how he's going to structure it. And that's really one of the main things I'm really looking forward to going and seeing here in a couple hours, is just kind of seeing how that defensive backfield is structured and who's where.
Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com, our guest every Tuesday, K-State Athletics, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric, residential and commercial electric service company, every Tuesday here on the Sports Ticket. So we covered the defense. The offensive line, look, I mean, we know the offensive line. I mean, K-State's got everybody back there. That looks pretty good. What about wide receiver? That does seem to be, I know you and I talked about this last week, a bit of concern with some of the inexperience at the wide receiver position. Who do you think has a leg up on getting those spots?
Yeah, I think Isaiah Zuber and Dalton Schoen will be those top two guys, just because they're so consistent last year, and I think that they're the most experienced and talented guys at the wide receiving core in terms of just knowing all the routes, knowing where to be at the right times, and having the best relationship with the quarterback. And then it kind of gets a little bit interesting, because you can go one of two ways at this. You know, one of the names that are kind of getting thrown out a lot is Zach Reuter, a senior, who's stepped up his leadership, according to Coach Snyder, and also is on the field play. I think Zach might see some time, and they've also thrown Landry Weber's name in the mix a lot. And so I think those are two guys that are the safe bet, you know, and that's one way to go. But, you know, I think you also maybe you want to roll the dice a little bit. You know, I think you're, for example, I'll talk linebacker, I think you might be rolling the dice a little bit by putting a guy like Daquan Patton in such a big role because he's inexperienced. Well, I would say the same thing about wide receiver. You know, Sebastian Taylor is a guy that fits this mold of a wide receiver that you want. You know, his physical, his height, his weight, his speed, everything about him is something that you want on the field. But he doesn't have that game experience. You know, he's a redshirt freshman. He made a few plays in the spring game, but that's about all you really know about him. But I just think that sometimes you can, you know, and sometimes in football you got to roll the dice. You're definitely going to have to roll the dice against Mississippi State in week two. And I think that Sebastian Taylor's worth doing that. You know, I think that a lot like what I said about Eli Walker, I think that Sebastian Taylor's talent is too good to not utilize. And it'd be a real shame if he doesn't get targeted quite a bit. Maybe not early, but maybe as the season progresses a little bit, maybe as he kind of gets his feet more wet, I'd really like to see him in a bigger role and maybe be that third wide receiver after Zuber and Schoen.
All right, Barnes, we expect to kind of be the workhorse if he stays healthy. Where does, and in case people maybe missed this last week, where does Dalvin Warmack and Silman fit into this equation?
Well, it sounds like Justin Silman has solidified himself as the number two back right now. And I don't know if that's necessarily so much about Justin Silman stepping up his game, but it sounds like Mike McCoy will not be playing this season or maybe even ever again. It sounds like his neck injury is so bad that he might have ended his football career, which is really a true shame because I think he could have been really special for K-State at running back in a year or two when Alex Barnes does leave. So it sounds like Justin Silman is going to be that number two back. It sounds like he's going to get those you know, those carries when maybe Alex Barnes kind of needs a break or, you know, maybe dinged up or whatever the case is. And then Dalvin Warmack's going to be kind of like in that scat back role, you know, not necessarily getting a bunch of carries, not necessarily being a workhorse per se. But I think that he'll get those kind of screen passes. I think that he'll maybe get in a little bit of situations where you're not expecting to see him get the ball, but then he kind of sneaks up on you and makes some quick plays. I think he is a talent that Andre Coleman wishes they would have been utilizing a little bit more before now.
South Dakota's the opponent coming up on Saturday. And then, of course, a big game a lot of K-State fans are pointing to is when Mississippi State comes to town. We'll talk about them here in a moment. But with the younger blood in the coordinator positions, do you expect Kansas State, because normally the first game of the year it's super vanilla, do you expect that to be much different at all on Saturday with the younger guys in the coordinator positions?
Not this Saturday, no. I think you're going to see basically the same vanilla-like offense, the same kind of go-to. Apologize here, the rain is starting to come down on my car right now, and I don't know if you can hear that or not.
Well, that'll help wash it. Since you don't wash it, that'll help wash it. That'll be good.
Apparently. I think that the offensive play calling is going to be a lot of the same stuff just because, you know, why show yourself on film before Mississippi State? There's just no need. This is a team you can beat by running your main stuff, by handing the ball to Alex Barnes about 24 times and, you know, maybe throwing a few quick little short passes here and there. Don't put yourself out there. Don't make yourself vulnerable to Mississippi State having a lot of film on you going into week two. So I don't think you're really going to see that many changes on Saturday, but I do think as the season plays out, as they play the Mississippi States, they play the West Virginias and the Texases, you're going to see them dip into the playbook a little bit more.
Do you expect Alex Delton or Skylar Thompson to take the first snap on Saturday?
Sorry, say that again. Which
quarterback do you think will be under center for the first snap of the game on Saturday?
It's kind of funny. You know, I can't remember if you asked me or if it was a different radio show I was doing last week, but I said pretty solidly that I thought it was going to be Alex Delton from everything I was hearing. I just kind of felt like they might be going the safe route with him. But over the last 6 days or so, we've been hearing a lot of things about Skylar Thompson, how ever since fall camp started here, he stepped his game up. And, you know, obviously you would have liked to see him perform the way, I guess, he performed in fall camp the entire offseason. But it sounds like Skylar's really just performed really well in the fall camp. It sounds like he started to maybe pull ahead in this race. So, man, you know, I've gone so back and forth on this. I was solid on Skylar from April to June mm-hmm. or so, to July, and then I kind of did a flip and went with Alex Delton. But if I had to make a call today, I really think you might see Skylar Thompson out there first. I think that Coach Snyder is going to want to see how he does. You know, this is your, you know, this is your season right now. This is your fresh start, and you are now the starter. How do you handle this? He'll pepper Alex in a little bit, and just kind of have Skylar ready to go to start the game as the season goes on. I think that game one, though, I think it's going to be Skylar Thompson. I really think that he has done enough to win the job, and I think if it goes well, I think he'll be the guy that you see for the majority of this season.
You know, I thought it was kind of interesting, Coach Snyder yesterday on the teleconference call, he didn't say both could play. He said both will play. And now the question I guess I would have, and I think you probably had the same one, and there's no way for Coach Snyder to probably answer this question, is because you're trying to predict the future, and that is, well, how long are you going to play two quarterbacks? And I would guess by the time you start Big 12 conference play, you should have a real good idea who's the guy that's going to get a majority of the snaps. Do you see this happening with the quarterback situation where they're going to play both for an extended period of time into Big 12 conference play? Or do you think the main goal is, hey, we're going to figure out the end of the non-conference slate, this is our guy, and then the other guy we'll just have to sprinkle in some kind of special package?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, his comment of both will play, I think that's more just Coach Snyder rewarding his guys. You know, I think that both, you know, whether or not Skylar has been the better of the two quarterbacks, I think that both have played so well in the offseason to the point where they deserve their chance to kind of show themselves a little bit and get some non-conference playing time. But, yeah, I think it is going to be that route of, you know, hey, we have this South Dakota game, we have this UTSA game, that we can really utilize the advantage that we have over these teams. We can experiment a little bit and see maybe who's better in the game situation, because obviously game and practice are two different things. I think they probably will roll with one over the other a little bit more in the Mississippi State game than the two non-conference games. I know that's kind of weird, but when it comes down to it, I think by the end of that UTSA game, game three of the non-conference schedule, I think you're going to see one guy really kind of start to solidify himself as the number one guy, the go-to guy, because I just don't think you can survive in the Big 12 Conference with a dual quarterback system. Now, that's not to say there's not packages.
Right.
You know, if Alex Delton comes out, like you said, in a series or two, and they want to run this a lot of quarterback run game and maybe a little bit of play action here and there, I think that's a terrific idea. I think that both Skylar and Alex are too good to not use. But I don't want to see this become like 2013, where you can't ever decide on a quarterback, and
right,
you know, you end up 7-5 and playing in the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl.
Yeah.
Not bowling right now, it's a Cheez-It Bowl. But you know, I think that it's best for K-State if they pick one guy. I just don't know when necessarily they're going to solidify the one guy. But I think even Coach Snyder knows I have to make a decision and really kind of stick with one main guy.
Go Powercats. Riley Gates, our guest every Tuesday, to talk K-State athletics, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty and Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company, every Tuesday on the Sports Ticket during the year. All right, Mississippi State, we want to shift there to week two. Coaches aren't going to shift and look to week two, or won't admit it, neither will the players. But we, as folks in the media, can always do this. We can look ahead. Mississippi State suspended their quarterback, Nick Fitzgerald, for the opener against Stephen F. Austin, which means his first play of the year will be in Manhattan against Kansas State. How big of a game will that be for Kansas State? Mississippi State, 18th, I think, in one of the polls. Fitzgerald will be his first start of the year, very talented quarterback. How important will that game be for K-State in week two?
Oh, that's crucial. I don't know that people really fully grasp just how different last season became when you lose to Vanderbilt. I think that, you know, that team finished with, eight wins, but I think it, you know, could have been a 9 or 10 win team had they beaten Vanderbilt. I think that really shook their confidence. And I think this is the same thing. You know, you're playing at home against a team that nobody expects you to beat, really. Why? Because it's the SEC, and it's, you know, Nick Fitzgerald, one of the most prolific quarterbacks in college football this year. And I think that this is a game that K-State has something to prove. And on top of that, I don't necessarily think that K-State's going to go into Morgantown in week four and pull out a win there. So if you're 2-2 after your first four games, I mean, that's an incredible uphill battle that you have for the remainder of the season if you want it to be a special year. So I think that this Mississippi State game is either going to do one of two things. It's either going to really light that fire under K-State and get this season rolling and make it a really special season, or it's going to start to snowball downward because, you know, like I said, you're going to go to Morgantown, and that's going to be a really tough one. And worst-case scenario, you're 2-2, and you're 0-1 in conference play, and you just don't have any quality wins so far, and that's tough to really kind of bounce back from. And I think that winning that game against Mississippi State would do wonders for this team. I think that Nick Fitzgerald's suspension is also really big. You know, initially I just kind of thought, oh, it's no big deal. You know, that's a non-conference opponent. He really wasn't going to, you know, show that much on film or anything. But I'm starting to wonder if necessarily Mississippi State might not be taking Manhattan, Kansas, and Bill Snyder Family Stadium serious enough. You know, I think that that's kind of what happened to Auburn a few years back when they came into Manhattan. I don't know if they necessarily thought, hey, you know, this is a tough environment to play in. I think that if Nick Fitzgerald is going into game one thinking he's just going to kind of coast past some lowly Big 12 team, I think he's going to be, you know, sorely mistaken. And, you know, an 11 a.m. kick in a really rowdy environment, I think it's going to be really tough for him to really kind of shake that rust off and get back into the groove of things. So I think that's big for K-State. And if you're Blake Seiler, if you're anybody on the defensive staff, I think you're sending heat in that first series, and I think you're trying to rattle Nick Fitzgerald because that could really do wonders for that game too.
All right, so we need to do this before the season begins so we have you on record, on tape. Record for K-State this year is?
Oh, man. That's kind of a tough one because I think they have a lot of games back and forth that, you know, I could see them winning.
Yeah.
And I could see them, you know, losing the games that they shouldn't win. You know, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say that K-State goes 8-4. I think it's going to be the West Virginia game. I think it's going to be the Oklahoma game, the TCU game, and the Iowa State game. I don't think they're going to win those four games, and those are four road games against really good Big 12 teams. And quite frankly, if they went 8-4 and lost those four games, I don't think you can necessarily be that upset about that season. You know, maybe Iowa State a little bit, but honestly, right now, I think Oklahoma, TCU, and West Virginia, at least on paper, are all better teams than K-State. So I think those are four games they shouldn't win, and I don't know if they necessarily will, but I'll probably go 8-4. But I could, you know, I could see them beating TCU, but then, you know, maybe losing to, let's say, Texas Tech, a game that I think they should win. So it'll be a really interesting season. I'm probably going to go 8-4 for my record.
So you got them beating Mississippi State in week two. That's what you've got.
I do.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, Big 12 finish out of 10. Where are they going to finish in the Big 12? You got four conference losses. They'd be what? Yeah, so four conference losses.
That's probably putting you at fourth, mm-hmm. fourth or fifth, maybe. You know, kind of depending on how it plays out. Obviously, tiebreakers right. kind of change things. If someone else has four losses, probably fourth is probably what I'll say. But I think they'll kind of push for that third spot. I don't know if this is necessarily a team right now that I feel comfortable enough saying we'll sneak into that Big 12 championship game.
Well, the gurus at CBSSports.com, I don't think they follow college football super closely, although they probably get paid to do that. They have K-State the highest. They have them as sixth, and some guys had them picked eighth. And I'm like, wow, that's easy money if I bet those guys. I will take the over on sixth or eighth, and I feel pretty comfortable in that because that's what K-State does every year. They almost always exceed the expectations when they are picked in the polls, although last year there were some higher expectations. But more often than not, you doubt Coach Snyder and his team, and he's going to make you look silly.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think that eighth place finish is just a little bit ignorant by whoever made that. And, you know, I'll give you the sixth place finish. I don't think that's as outlandish, but much like you, Wade, I would take the over on that. I think that this is at least a top five Big 12 team at worst.
I'm with you. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. What feedback did you receive from last week's intro for yourself on the sports ticket? What kind of feedback did you receive? I saw your dad, your mom, and Parker all commenting on Twitter. I thought it was interesting. Your dad seemed to really enjoy it. Parker, of course, loved it. Your mom's quote, I think, was, ouch. leave it to mom to be the sympathetic one. I don't know what Tyson – I ran into your brother Tyson Dairy Queen last week. He seemed to get a kick out of it. I just wondered about what your other friends thought of that intro and if they had heard it.
I did get a lot of text messages from some people that listened to it. And they thought it was funny. They were curious if you would be using that one every week, and I said, I don't know. That's Wade's call. I'll just let him do whatever he wants. But you know, in terms of my mom, I don't know if he was saying ouch about me,
yeah,
or if she was saying ouch about my comment to you that all my best games were on KVFB. So
that
know.
Could be.
I don't know what she was going with there.
That is all possible. I don't know which way she meant all that. That is true. That's a good point. You never know when you put stuff on social media and the tone and everything else. Well, we may just have to have a throwback intro week three with Riley where we roll that one again just in case people missed it. But I spared Riley a little bit today, went with the shorter intro. That, and we had a cut with Coach Snyder to lead into it as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and looking forward to the game coming up on Saturday at 6:10, K-State in South Dakota. And Riley, we look forward to previewing what should be the toughest and most interesting non-conference game of the year coming up next week with Mississippi State. We appreciate the time and look forward to having you again next Tuesday.
Yeah, for sure. It's always a pleasure. And, yeah, we'll see how this season goes. Here it is. Let's get going.
Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com, brought to you every Tuesday on the Sports Ticket by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric, residential and commercial electric service company, right now on the Sports Ticket and every Tuesday during the football and basketball seasons.